This morning we're talking about faith. And we're talking about the kind of faith that moves mountains. And so my question for you this morning is this. What are you having faith for this year? What are you believing God for in 2017? I think so many times we can go along in life and we just eat, sleep, work, eat, sleep, work. We just go through the motions of life, right? But we don't say, God, what is it that you have for me this year? What am I believing God for? What supernatural thing could God orchestrate in my life and put together those pieces? Because faith has to begin with believing God even for the impossible. That faith is the substance of things not seen, things hoped for, and things believed. Last week we talked about God's light, and he lights up our dark places. He brings knowledge, truth, and growth. And all of this is represented in light, right? Last week we talked about the seven mountains of culture and how we can influence and be an influence on those mountains of culture. So it's neat. Here we're talking about mountains of culture, and then we're going to be getting into the passage here where Jesus talks about moving mountains in Matthew chapter 21, 18 to 22. It's neat how God coordinates things. I love that. But some mountains, right, they're not just good mountains, like mountains of culture, we understand. But some mountains have to be moved, right? They have to be moved. Jesus, he curses a fig tree in our passage that we're going to read in a moment. And the disciples are amazed at Jesus and what he did. Because the fig tree dies in moments, as we read in Matthew 21. But it's the kind of amazement that looks back and goes, wow, how many of you have even said these words? Wow, I can't believe it. How many of us have said that, right? We have all said that. Something amazing happens in our life, and the first words out of our mouths are, wow, I can't believe it. That's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? I mean, in one sense, we're just amazed and in awe, but in that same sense, we just admitted we had no faith for the thing that just happened. I was not a part of that in any way, shape, or form in my faith. Because, wow, I can't believe it. It's staring me right in the face. Wow, I can't believe it. And sometimes we just get used to saying these words, right? There's some things that we just say. You go up to a teenager, and I don't care what generation you were a teenager or what generation they are now. This happened in the 80s. It's happening now. How many students say like? We catch them saying, I was like, no, it's not like a ballet girl. Like, it's not like I'm talking like. But they just naturally have that sometimes in verbiage. I listen to students in the hallways, and they throw that out there. I remember years ago that that same thing happened. Sometimes we have filler words, right? Like, and different things. We have just patterns in which we flow, and we're used to using. And even that is, wow, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe that just happened. They're amazed. But it's a shock that is passive. It's a shock that can't take it in. Notice what Jesus does here. He redirects. He doesn't sit back and celebrate. He doesn't say, yeah, that was pretty awesome. You should see what I could do with chia pets. All right? That fig tree, let me show you what I can do with chia. Whoever had one of those? I did not. I'm just raising my hand for fun. Okay, but those were such strange things that I saw on TV. You could have a chia pet, and you could have a chia tree, and you could have, it's just so funny. But, Jesus doesn't say, you could see what I do with azaleas. I can make those things die in minutes. I have a black thumb, okay? There are some of us have a green thumb, some of us have a black thumb, right? They try to grow stuff, but it doesn't grow, right? And what's wild about even this piece, and we'll get more into it, is that Jesus doesn't Jesus doesn't make anything die normally. He brings life to everything he touches, right? Remember how we talked about Isaiah and how the coal touches his lips, and at first he's in front of the Lord and he says, I'm going to die, I'm in the presence of the Lord. Because remember, anything that's unclean that comes into the presence of the Lord could contaminate that place, and so that thing or that person or whatever would die. Remember that? And he's afraid, but the coal touches his lips and suddenly he's made holy, right? That's Jesus, right? Jesus is going out and he's making things holy and he's bringing things to life and he's doing all these things. And so here we have this interesting passage where Jesus doesn't bring it to life. He says, die, fig tree. And the fig tree withers up immediately. It's an interesting passage. And so we're going to get into it. Jesus, he went in the midst of this. Jesus points to bigger things than a fig tree. Is it really about figs? Did Jesus hate fig Newtons? Like, man, you are not a Christian if you eat fig Newtons. I don't care if it's fruit and cake. You stay away from that. No, I mean, no, he's not saying that. He's not saying any fig tree you ever see. Like, man, no. I mean, this is not what Jesus has a deeper point than he's making. There's bigger things. You know, in 2017, there are some things in your life that God wants you to eliminate. There are trees in your life that aren't producing any fruit. You would expect them to. It's all leafy. In fact, that's why Jesus, again, there is this, he's looking, right? He's hungry and he goes up to this tree and it's got leaves. And when he sees the leaves, what's he expecting? Fruit. Right? Because with a fig tree, you'd have the leaves, right? And the leaves are going to flower after the fruit is already produced. And so, just to get a little bit, kind of going back a little bit, I mean, figs are pretty big. Look at that right there. Man, that looks pretty juicy right there. Nice juicy fig. And there's leaves all around it, right? It's all leafy. It looks really good, but there's nothing good going on inside that thing that's producing fruit. And Jesus says, fig tree, may you never bear fruit again. So again, let's read the passage together. Early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. Immediately, the tree withered. You see, Jesus is hungry to see growth in your life. But when things aren't growing, they need to die. If you look at the church, and I'm not just talking about Mitchell Assembly, but there are ministries that churches have, and when they're not producing, they need to die. Whether it's this or that thing, but pastor, it still has leaves on it. That program, that ministry, that you fill in the blank, it looks so nice. It has such pretty leaves. But is it bearing fruit? That's what we always have to ask. In our ministries, in our own personal lives, in our families, the time that we're so committing to this thing and that thing, because maybe it has all these old memories connected to it. And it has all these emotions connected to it. And we just, oh man, isn't that thing great? It's a table that only has three legs and it's hardly standing up and you've got this little thing that's resting on it. It's time to throw that thing away. You guys ever see the show Hoarders, right? Where they're just holding on and holding on and holding on to it because there's so many memories built up with those things. And there are times where God says, I want to eliminate that in your life. There's pruning that needs to go on, right? Eliminate things. And when we go to eliminate things, and we can have temporary feelings of loss. I love me some chocolate cake, okay? It is one of my favorite things. I think about my grandma Potter, who made delicious chocolate cake, and she had this frosting that was out of this world. And she handmade the frosting, and she'd whip it so much that it'd come up in peaks, right? And it was caramelized. I mean, it was just so good. So good. And I remember she made it specially for my birthday, right? And so it had so many memories with it. And there's so much connection. But you know what? You know what? I know that there are some things that I need to cut out, and some of those things are sweets, right? When we think of the new year, we think, man, I need to lose something, right? It's probably right here, right? And again, we say, you know, I need to diet, I need to exercise more, I need to do these things. But again, spiritually, what do you need to cut out? What looks maybe leafy, maybe looks like it's got some life, but really it's not producing any fruit. It's not producing any fruit. So I need to cut it out. Again, I want you to ask the question in your own life, what isn't producing fruit? Point number one, what do you need to cut out? What needs to die? Some commentaries also point to this dying fig tree in this context of Jesus' judgment on the temple and workers in it. Jesus, we know this scene, we've talked about it here at Mitchell Assembly, where Jesus comes in and he does what to the tables in the temple? He throws them over, right? Now, again, you know, my kids are like, anger, you know, is anger sin? And there can be anger that is sin, right? It's called rage, right? It's called where we do anger, and anger just builds up, and it's rage, and it's frustration, and it's not patience, and it's not kindness. That was not what Jesus was doing. He had righteous anger, right? He went in there, and it's like something horrible had just taken place, and he was going to bring justice. And Jesus will bring justice, right? But he comes into the temple, and he throws the tables over. But why does he do it? Well, two big things. One is, when they were selling at the tables, it was the fact that they knew people were coming from miles around, so they were gouging people on prices and selling things at costs that they shouldn't have been. But another huge reason is because that place was the Gentile courts. They couldn't go anywhere closer into the house of God. That's as far as they could go. And so, try praying when a million cell phones are going off, okay? You can't. You're distracted, right? Again, my point here, just to be comical a little bit there, but if somebody's like, 25, 25, 35, 35, I'll sell you a goat, I'll sell you a mule, I'll sell you a donkey, I'll sell you two doves, right? You can't hear yourself pray. That's not a quiet, contemplative place. That's not a place where you can really seek the Lord. And Jesus has said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. We talked about light last week, and what Isaiah said over and over, you are to be a light to the Gentiles, right? A light to the Gentiles. And Isaiah was saying that, and Jesus was saying, listen, you guys are not being a light to the Gentiles. You're not caring about anybody outside of Judaism. You're not doing what I've called you to do. And Jesus throws over the tables, right? They're to be a light to the Gentiles, and they failed in that mission. And Jesus came to accomplish that mission. And Jesus was also cutting out those who were doing business unethically, as I shared before. What dead things do you need to cut out of your temple? Maybe it's chocolate cake like myself. Maybe like the Gentile courts, it's making room for prayer. Maybe like the Gentile courts, it's the need for selfishness and greed to be cut out. Those things easily slip into our hearts, right? They can so easily get in there. It's almost tricky the way that it gets in there so quickly. When we look at the fig tree, we see this is Jesus' only miracle where he brings death to something. We don't know how he did it. Again, it's fine to speculate, and it is good to ask questions, but some answers won't come this side of heaven. Why did my grandfather get in the car accident that he did? Maybe you ask yourself that. Why did I miss that opportunity? Why didn't my friend get healed? That's a big thing, especially as Pentecostals. Because we invest so much of our time, we invest so much of our emotions and our heart into our prayers. And what happens when the healing doesn't come? What happens when the supernatural thing we've been praying for doesn't take place? Are we still Pentecostal? Do we still believe that God's supernatural and that he can do anything and he's miraculous? Yes, we sure do. But then faith becomes what it really should be. More about trusting a person, a God, than a formula, right? Because if it's just a formula and I say this and I do this and I say the right thing and I be the right thing, boom, I'll get the result, then it's not really trusting God anymore, is it? It's not leaning on Him. It's not saying, I'm relying on you. It's not personal with Him and hearing His voice, right? Point number two this morning, and I have them up here. Let me put those up there. What do you need to cut out? What needs to die? But then you don't need to have all the answers. The disciples responded, how did the fig tree wither so quickly? How did it wither so quickly? And if I were Jesus, which I'm not, I would have said something like, I made this whole world. Do you think I can't wither a tree? You know what? I've held the universe in my hands. Notice they didn't say, how did you cause the fig tree to wither? They aren't giving Jesus the credit. They're just saying, how did this happen? Right? So many times I find that God does amazing acts in our lives, and rather than praising Him or acting like He did it, we don't even acknowledge that He did it. Right? I mean, we'd say, oh, I guess that was just lucky. It was lucky I didn't get hit by that other person. Oh, it was lucky that this didn't turn out to be cancer. Oh, I was lucky because this and this just happened to happen. Like, I get that from non-Christians, okay? I've seen God take away pain in a moment, and it's like, oh, no, it wasn't God. It was just this and that, right? Have you ever been thanked for something that you didn't do? Right? I've been thanked for something before that I didn't do. Are you ever upset by that? Like, how dare you thank me? I can't believe you thanked me. That is incredibly insensitive. No, I mean, you know, you're like, well, no, I didn't actually do that. That was my mom. She did it. She's so nice. Okay? But do you think God is ever upset for us giving Him credit? Like, even if it was the doctor, or even if it was somebody doing something, and do you think God's upset for giving Him glory? But so many times, I don't think we do. I don't think we go, God, thank you for doing this. I don't know how you orchestrated it. I don't know how it happened. I don't know how the Holy Spirit played a part in this thing for this to take place. God wants to cultivate in our lives an attitude of gratitude. An attitude where I am just naturally thanking God. Thank you, God. Have you cultivated the discipline? And maybe you do already. Maybe this is something you could just go, check 2017, I do this already. But do you wake up saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God, for my family. Thank you, God, for this house. Have you, any of you watched it? I think it's going viral, but there is this video. A pastor was doing a series and he wakes up and everything's in wrapping paper, right? So his car is wrapped in paper with a bow and it's not a new car. He's like, thank you God for my car. And he's like, thank you God for my toothbrush. Ah, thank you God for this cereal. And he's unwrapping it and pouring it out. And it's the same old cereal he's always had. It's the same old car he's always had, but he's cultivating an attitude of gratitude that he just says, God, thank you for doing these things. I don't have all the answers. I don't know exactly how you're working in this situation. Sometimes it's clearer. Sometimes it's foggy and fuzzy. And sometimes the circumstances look completely opposite of what I want to see. But thank you, God. Thank you. And begin just cultivating that attitude of gratitude. And I love that it rhymes, okay? But I believe that when we're those kind of people, don't you love to bless your kids when they're thankful? Right? Isn't that great to see that on their heart? Thank you for those green beans. No, that doesn't usually happen. Heap them on, Mom! Come on, let's get going more and more. No, you know, that doesn't normally happen. But they're thankful for the ice cream, aren't they? They're thankful for the ice cream. Maybe we need to start being thankful for some green beans. Thankful for things that we know are going to help us grow, but that we don't like eating. That we can't completely explain like the fig tree and how it happened and what took place. But we know Jesus said this is going to happen. And even if it's something that we don't like, maybe we like that fig tree. Maybe we like that thing and it's no more. We trust in him. We trust in him. In this passage, I don't see thankfulness there with the disciples. I see a lot of questions. Just how is it going to take place and when? They even started backstepping on what they previously said. When God moves or even something happens, I was sharing something in my notes. Sometimes this happens. But I had a call from somebody and they needed something. And I kind of felt like I was in the Lord's position. You're like, yeah, because you're a pastor. But no, it's not because of that. But I felt like I was just another government agency. I felt like I was just another phone call of like, you're going to give me this, right? And if you can't, click. And then I thought to myself, like, do we ever treat God like that? God, don't have time to talk, but if you could do this, that'd be great. Oh, you can't? Okay, bye. How do we converse with the Lord? Do we just ask him for stuff real quick and then put that phone down? Do we only come to him when we have something? Don't you dislike that? When somebody just comes to you and the only reason they're coming to you is because they want something. You're like, oh, here comes so-and-so. I know they want something. That's why they're knocking on my door. That's why they're calling me. It's not because they want to talk. It's not because they want to have developed this relationship. It's just like, hey, you got something going on? Oh, no, I can't. Do we carry ourselves like that with God? Or do we cultivate a relationship with him? Thankfulness. And again, that whole aspect. That whole aspect. But even if we're not filled with gratitude, maybe like the chocolate cake, we feel a sense of loss when the fig tree's gone, and we ask why and how. Right? We begin to ask these questions. Maybe our relationship with God is hindered because of past hurts in our lives. And maybe those past hurts aren't even God's fault. But we just, it's kind of pushed us away from God. Faith is about trust. Faith is not having faith in faith. Faith is about trust in God. Faith is holding on to Jesus even when the miraculous doesn't come. Faith is leaning into Jesus. So again, the disciples ask, how did you cause the fig tree to wither? How does Jesus respond? I'll pull it back up here, verse 21. It says, Jesus replied, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what has been done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. What a powerful passage. Jesus responds not by telling them how he did it. He doesn't go into the biological or chemical reaction that caused this cataclysmic reaction. He calls them to greater heights in their faith. If you don't doubt, you can not only do what I did, but you can speak to mountains. And many times in our lives, we want to be wowed by God. I can't believe it. We want to be wowed by God, but God is not calling us to just react and give a little, wow, that was great. He's saying, I'm calling you into faith. It's participatory. It's relational. If you really dive in with me, see, it's partnership, right? If you dive in with me in this thing called faith, and it's a willingness to dream big. If you really dream big with me, this place will look a whole lot different. And I would say the same as your pastor. Will you dream with me? I'm asking you to do the same. Mitchell, South Dakota can look a whole lot different. God can move mountains for us. Now, I know we're not in the hills, okay? So we don't really have any mountains to pick from, okay? But again, Jesus is calling us spiritually to move mountains. Here Jesus is talking about the power of prayer. Prayer and faith, they go hand in hand. Let me ask you, you know, a lot of times we will pray. And sometimes we'll pray because we're like, oh, I know I need to pray. But why do we pray if we don't expect it to happen? Right? If we had no thought that our parents, kind of taking you back, right? If our parents were going to let us stay up till 9 o'clock, why would we ask, can I stay up till 9? Why would they ask? Why would we ask if we didn't think that would happen? Right? Now, there's a chance to say no, right? Can we go to the park? No, we're busy today. Can I go over to my friend's house? Maybe in a little while. Right? Can I do this? Can I do that? Our children ask us these things because they actually believe that it could be a yes. When we ask in faith, in prayer, we got to believe that God could do it. And mentally, right, logically, we say, oh, of course, I know God can do it. God created the world. He created the universe. Duh. No. No, it's actually where you really, truly believe it, not just in a cognitive sense, but in a relational sense, that you know that he's a good father, that you know he's your provider, and you know that he could act in this situation. Prayer and faith take action steps. Okay? See, the person that goes, wow, I can't believe it, that person didn't require any action steps. They just got blessed by the overflow of those actions. But if you want to participate in the kingdom of God, if you want to participate in what God's doing, then he calls you and I to take action steps. Faith isn't natural, it's supernatural. It's finding out what God is doing and becoming a part of it. Why do we stress at church so much serve? Serve all, love all. I love that statement. Serve all, love all. Why do we stress love God, love people, share life? Because when we are serving, when we're in it, we are participating in it, and we see how God is moving in supernatural ways. It's a part of being on the team. Prayer is not only where you exercise your faith, it's where you hear from the Lord on what to pray and who to pray for. We had faith that God would bring us here to Mitchell, South Dakota. Did we have some mountains that were in the way? As I look at the beginnings of 2017, we sure did. Our planes were being canceled again and again. And you guys felt the frustration on this side, you know? But God kept encouraging us to push through. Look at the fruit of the prayer being answered. For 3 years, we've seen lives change. People making declarations of faith through water baptisms, through the Holy Spirit empowering believers that they walk through the gateway of speaking in tongues, but also into empowerment to live a life that's strong in the believer, with the courage and strength to witness. We have new windows. We have new sound panels, new speakers. We have a new floor. We have a new sign on top of the roof, a new float. New opportunities to invest in our community through puppet ministry at the Safe House. We've sown into lives that we don't know, or we won't know until we get to heaven what mountains we moved in the area of missions giving, Speed the Light, BGMC, Light for the Lost, our missionaries that we serve and pour into on a monthly basis and are committed to. Those are lives that we've seen change. We got involved in the Dakota Fest, where we're preaching to people and handing them walking sticks, but sharing the wordless Bible as we hand it to them. We've done free oil changes to people in our community. And sometimes when we open that thing up, right? You remember some of those? Sludge, 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 sludge. Putting new oil in their cars. And it's because of partnership together. We did it as a team. We've had a blast doing it. Ministry is exciting. I love what John Lindell says. He says, the church has not been built by the talent of the few. It's been built by the sacrifice of the many. Doesn't that sound like a body? Doesn't that not just sound like an arm or a tongue or an ear or some piece of the body? But all of us sacrificing together, enjoying together, doing ministry together produces changed lives. And even the effect that we won't see until eternity. I know it's not in Scripture, but when you changed my oil, Jesus said, you did it for me. Right? When did we change your oil, Jesus? I didn't know you drove a car. I picture it more like a Flintstones thing. I don't know. I didn't see you driving around, Mitchell. When you did it for the least of these, you did it for me. Right? That's kingdom building. That's teamwork. That's a team effort. Our ministry brings joy to children. A couple of nights ago, my kids and I read the passage, "Let the little children come unto me." And I believe this church is truly fulfilling that passage. Jesus was saying this. He didn't devalue kids. We know the kids, he saw them as seeds of potential that have huge impacts on the kingdom of God. Not just way down the road, but today and now. We show it through our dynamic teaching through Ignite Kids Ministries. We show it through our energetic VBS program every year. I am amazed at Corrine when she gets up on this platform and sings and dances her heart out. Right? That is so awesome to me. But it's so many of you that come alongside and make that take place. You know, me and Leonard chat, and a lot of times, you know, we've talked about how just, isn't it amazing? We're a church of about 60-some people. But look at all that we've got to do for God. It just shows that God has no boundaries. That he can do the supernatural. And he can use me and you. We don't have to be 1,500 people to start making a difference in Mitchell, South Dakota. Moses, what's in your hand? What mountain have you said, I want removed in Jesus' name? What ways have you taken a cup of cold water to somebody in need? When you've done it for the least of these, you've done it for me. So many churches, I think they envy the big churches. And they go, when we finally get to be big, we're going to do something big. And God's like, it's too late. I gave you this opportunity and this opportunity and this opportunity and this opportunity. And you missed the boat because you were coveting what they got. Rather than just embracing what you have and doing it with all your heart, with everything that's inside of you, and seeing me do the miraculous, seeing me do the supernatural, that's faith. Faith is the substance of things not seen, things hoped for, things believed. Jesus was calling the disciples to faith in this passage here. It's an awesome thing. We show it through our Wednesday night Royal Rangers and Girls Ministries. And we are further developing that from derby cars and campouts and special things here and there to just add and add and add to pouring into these children and teenagers and showing them our love on a weekly basis. Who's glad that you had somebody to mentor you, somebody to speak life into you? Right? Maybe it was your pastor. Maybe it was a friend. Right? Maybe it was a coworker. But somebody that spoke like, maybe it was your parents. It's usually who it is, right? Somebody that's willing to pour into you daily. Right? I'm thankful for those people. And we at Mitchell Assembly, when we're pouring into our teens and our kids, we're doing that. We're being mentors. You may not say, I'm not a mentor, I just do this. Don't think that way. It's not you're just doing something. When you tithe, when you give generously to the Lord, don't just think, oh, that's just whatever quantity I put in a basket. It's not just something. When you put it in the hands of God and you say, God, I believe I'm participating. I believe you're going to do something supernatural. You're not just doing something. It has eternal ramifications. Don't let it just stay there, because God doesn't just want us to tithe. He wants all of our life, right? He wants all the gifts and all the talents. And time is a thing that we tithe to the Lord. Our time in prayer, our time in church, our time doing these outreaches that we need bodies, and not just bodies, active Christians that love Jesus. You ever go someplace and you're like, oh, they're going through the motions, right? And I don't mean just a church. You ever go to Starbucks and you go to get a cup of coffee, or Caribou here in town, the number of them that we have. Do you know when they're just going through the motions? Oh, you want a mocha? Okay, latte. Da-da-da-da. Right, okay, here you go. Or they're really engaging with you. How was your week, Leonard? How you doing? You're a regular here. You know, how you doing? You know, how's Holly doing? How's Mitchell Christian? You know, how are your kids? Like, this is engaging. This is where I care about the person right in front of me. And when we're doing ministry this year, we don't need people that just fill an order, get you a cup of coffee, and hand it to you. That'll be $3.50, please. Like, wow, that's a cheap cup of coffee. No, I'm just joking. Especially if it's a turtle. No. Extra whipped cream then. Extra whipped cream. No. No chocolate cake. I don't know. It's going to take a while for me. All right. It's a goal. It's a goal. Okay. But again, you know, how are we serving? How are we pouring in? When somebody walks through our doors, what are they experiencing? When somebody walks into our Wednesday night services, what are they experiencing? When somebody walks into your home or somebody walks into your job, what are they experiencing? Like last week, we talked about being the light, right? Are we moving mountains and believing God for big things? As I shared before, the Gideons are going to be praying for teachers at Mitchell Christian School. You have three teachers here at Mitchell School, Mitchell Christian School, that teach at Mitchell Christian. Mandy Decker, Holly, and myself. And there are other teachers and students that would love to have you pray for them. What mountains in their lives, in our lives, could be moved as you step out in faith and in prayer this year? God has used us, but it started out all from a big answer to prayer for a storm to be moved in Jesus' name. For you and I to hear God's voice, not just once, but over and over again. What miracle are you believing for in 2017? I'm believing that our church will be able to update our heating and air this year. I'm believing for more people to receive Christ this year. I'm believing, God, that He will continue to grow our teens ministry, our kids ministry, our Wednesday night girls ministry, and Royal Rangers. I'm believing God is going to bring workers into the harvest field who are equipped and empowered and driven by faith to see God do the supernatural in and through our lives. We not only want to see dead things in our lives wither quickly, we want to go further as Jesus challenges us to do, participating in faith, seeing the whole landscape change dramatically by the power of prayer and faith. Here in Mitchell, South Dakota, that we would say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. Jesus uses all the time hyperbole. He says, there's a big wood, huge piece in your eye, right? And you're trying to get the speck out. Jesus is not necessarily saying to go to the hills and start moving those mountains. He's using an exaggeration, but he's making that point to say that we can spiritually see huge things take place if we will trust him. What mountain do you need to speak boldly to? God has great things planned in 2017, and the power that fuels it is faith in prayer. Is faith to believe God and then take action steps towards that. what he's speaking to our hearts. Again, it's actively listening to him and then stepping out in it and through it. Without faith, in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do you want to see God overjoyed with you? Live out a life that speaks and seeks, I should say, to love God, love people, and share life. Take bold steps that bring about supernatural results. And I've said this, but again, mine, I haven't had it on there for a while. But point number three, believe for the impossible. We've not because we ask not. As Mark Batterson has shared, God can change crack houses into coffee houses. If you ever visit Washington, D.C., I challenge you to go to Ebenezer's Coffee House. There used to be a crack house there, but they prayed over that place, and it's now a coffee house where worship takes place, where many of the staff are there, and it's more popular than Starbucks in Washington, D.C. And they've given millions of dollars to missions through the profits of Ebenezer's. That's so neat. I look at those stories and I see that as an example of God doing the impossible and moving mountains. We need to see some mountains moved in Washington, D.C., right? What a cool place to start with a place like the crack house that's turned into a coffee house. An example that God can redeem anything and anyone for his purposes. In Springfield, Missouri, God moved to transform a church in amazing ways. They started with 42 people, and the Lindells realized that the hand of God was on the church that they visited, called James River Assembly, in a unique way. They say it's not about us, it's about what God calls us to do. It's because it's been far beyond what we could have imagined. He said, I just felt a grace over the church. Were there other churches in Springfield? Yes. Were there other Assembly of God churches in Springfield? Yes. Why James River? Right? Why? Well, I don't have all the answers, kind of like that fig tree withering. But I can tell you that they believed God for great things. And they invested, and there was a team, and they believed God for the supernatural and what he was going to do and how he was going to do things. And on Easter Sunday last year, they had 17,003 people come onto their campuses. In the 25 years that they've been a church, over 44,000, I don't have the statistic right in front of me, over 44,000 people came to Jesus. That church started as 42 people 25 years ago. Why James River? Now they're having a north campus as well. They've got a west campus, they've got a south campus. They actually want all four corners, south, east, north, west. And I believe in time they're going to do it. If it's God's vision, if it's God's plan, if it's what he wants, then it's going to take place. I love to share that story because, again, it's the miraculous. It's the supernatural. But it didn't happen overnight, did it? We love the miracles that happen overnight. But I think if you change a church of 42 to a church of attendance 17,000 on Easter, I don't think they would have been ready. There's many reasons why, if you just think in your head, analytical, structural, do we have this, do we have that? I don't think they would have been ready. God sometimes will move in a moment, but sometimes he calls us to believe for this step, and then this step, and then this step, and then this step. What are you believing God for? The church doesn't grow by accident. John Lindell says this, if we give ourselves to the Lord, God is going to do an exciting thing. You know, he is one of the most, it's just amazing how faith-filled he is. And he's not a name it and claim it guy. He's not a just repeat this prayer over and over again, and you're going to have it, and God wants you to have a big house. And he doesn't say all that. He doesn't say all that. And God is just moving there in an awesome way. But why? Because of statements like this that they believe, that's part of their DNA. If you pray, things that wouldn't normally happen are going to happen. God's going to do amazing things. We have a responsibility, he says, to the people who don't know Jesus to reach out to them. Have you ever thought of it that way? We have a responsibility to the people who don't know Jesus to reach out to them. The reason we are here is to reach people for Jesus Christ, to introduce people to the life-changing power of Jesus Christ, to help them reach out to a God who loves them. Would you bow your heads? What is it that God is calling Mitchell Assembly of God to? What can we believe from God for his kingdom, for great things to take place? And as we're bowing our heads and we're not distracted by others, what is it that God wants to do in your life that's participatory, that God's asking you to partner with him in faith, to see lives change, to see the light of the gospel spread, to see your family transformed by the gospel? What is it that the Lord's speaking to your heart? Know that it takes time to cultivate. It's not, sometimes he'll drop something just in a moment when we're gathered together in service, even in these times. But what is it that he wants to speak to your heart to believe God for? Would you just take a moment, even in this quietness, to respond to him and say, God, what is it that you want? What is it that you would have for me? Lord God, we know that there are a lot of lost people out there. We know there's a lot of people that need the life-transforming gospel. Lord, I pray that you would expand your kingdom. I pray that you would expand depth in each and every one of us. It says that for that fig tree that wasn't producing fruit, even the roots withered up. I pray for the opposite to take place in us, that our roots would go down super deep, that growth wouldn't just be numeric, it would be developmental, it would be discipleship, it would be getting deeper in prayer, it would be getting deeper into your word, it would be memorizing your word, it would be, again, cultivating fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. Lord God, that we would just cultivate that our roots are going down deep in you and it's showing forth in our everyday lives. God, we believe that you're going to do something big in our hearts, in us individually, and in this church. And we thank you for it. We thank you for it.